Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. I've had such a busy, I don't know how many days, it's just been off the scale. And it's just been really amazing. I've had a couple of trips away, and I just thought I'd share some of the insights that I found on those trips. I might have shared some of it. I'm sure I have on Instagram. You might have seen some of the posts. But last weekend, I was in Greece. It was the most amazing, wonderful break just for a family friend's wedding. Absolutely beautiful place. It really was gorgeous. Feel very blessed to have got some incredible sunshine and to be with people that I absolutely love. It was really wonderful, but it was just so fascinating to notice the amount of alcohol people put away. Not that there's anything unusual about that at a wedding, but it's really interesting because I think it's the first wedding I've been to, actually. I obviously don't get out much. So it's the first wedding I've been to since I stopped drinking. So I'd sort of forgotten what it's like when you're at one of these functions where alcohol is the norm, and you start with a champagne toast, and then that gets filled up, and then you move on to another champagne toast, and then there's shots, and then there's the wine, and then there's the spirits or port or something, and then there's cocktails. I mean, oh my goodness, I just was seeing all of this going on and remembering what that would have been like for me, five years and 8 months ago. It would have been such a different story for me. I mean, really, I would have been there, right from the off, and probably felt terrible, late at night or the next morning. It was just so interesting to watch it all carry on and to just feel that incredible sense of freedom, that just amazing sense of absolute joy. We hear that phrase JOMO, the joy of missing out, just absolute joy at knowing I don't need any of that. The thing I said on Instagram was a couple of people said to me, well, were you an alcoholic? Well, the kind of phrases, the kind of things people ask. Well, surely you can just have one. It's that question, isn't it? Don't you just want to have one? And the answer is no. Of course, I don't want to have one. I don't want any. The sense of freedom from not drinking is just incredible. The benefits of not drinking, you've heard me say this a million times if you've listened to this podcast, but how can we bottle that? How can we bottle that incredible sense of freedom from not putting poison in our bodies? Oh my God, it's just so special, so incredible to be up early, go to bed late, rocking till late, up really early, feeling fantastic, knowing that you haven't got to be planning your next drink, knowing that you can drive if you need to. Just the most amazing feeling. And then we got back from Greece, and then I was pretty much straight away off to Scotland. Just for a couple of days on a great trip with a friend, with a couple of meetings thrown in. And that was fascinating. I mean, Scotland's just, it's just so beautiful, isn't it? And the places we went, I just absolutely loved it. Braemar, if anybody knows that gorgeous place. And again, so much of Scotland revolves around, well, let's buy a souvenir bottle of whiskey or whatever. And in the airport on the way home, I thought really summed it all up. There was this kind of cabinet of bottles of, special bottles, whatever the hell they call them, rare whiskies, that were over £5,000. I mean, seriously, over £5,000. I couldn't believe it. I just laugh out loud funny. What is it about booze? Just, it's got such a hold on our life, on our society, and just everything about it. And oh my goodness, I really have lived and breathed the freedom of not being in the alcohol trap, this last week and a half. It's just been absolutely amazing. So if you're early days, I know it probably doesn't feel like that to you at the beginning. It probably didn't to me. I would have found it hard to endure that wedding, you know, if I'd been only a couple of weeks or a couple of months sober. I would have found it hard. Of course I would, particularly as there was nothing much else to have. But you've just got to trust me, it gets easier. We change those neural pathways. We can do it over time. And then we get to the stage where we're able to just smile sweetly and say, no, no, thanks. I'm good with my my sparkling water or whatever it is. And just feel fantastic about that choice. Really fantastic. So trust me, please just trust me. It gets easier, it gets better. And if only someone had just told me over and over and over again how freaking fantastic life is without the booze. If only they'd told me that over and over again, I might have done it sooner. So if you're struggling, if you're early days, reach out. You know, you really need that connection. It's the connection that makes such a massive, massive difference. So don't forget, obviously, you can join us in the Sober Club. It's very low cost. It's very high value. I know I go on about it, but really, it is. Just amazing connection. So check out the Sober Club, thesoberclub.com, and have a look at some of our events, because connection really is key. Depending on when you're listening to this, we've got Sober by the Sea this Sunday, the 24th of September. So might be too late, but you never know. Sometimes people join us right at the last minute. That's a day to focus on what it is you want, create a vision board, have a one-to-one coaching session. It's a really special day. It doesn't matter what stage you're at for any of my events, by the way. You can be sober curious or been sober for years. And then at the end, 14th of October, we've got a day for coaches, small business owners, practitioners, all around heart-centered business. That's in Hertfordshire. And that's followed the next day by Family Constellations. Many of you have heard me talk about constellations. Hopefully you heard the great interview last week with a great chat with Anu on ancestral trauma, how we can heal ancestral trauma. First step is come to a Constellations Day. Really is amazing. So that's in Hertfordshire on October the 15th. And then at the end of Manchester, there's an event run by some of our sober coaches, some of the guys in our sober coaching family. They're running that in Manchester. And then November 4th and 5th, we've got our self-care and sobriety retreat at Champneys in Hertfordshire. And then December the 5th, save the date for a live podcast recording and Christmas meetup in London. So remember, you know, this is the power of connection. So join us if you can, thesoberclub.com, click on events. And I know there'll be lots of you thinking, oh, I live too far away. Come up north, come to Wales, come to, you know, wherever. I would just love to do more events around the UK. So get in touch and invite me up, and we'll make something work. But meanwhile, check out traveling to where we are, because it's really worth it. You know, a couple of our Sober Club members came over from the States. One of our sober coaches, Paul, is coming over again to help with the event in Manchester and to do the Constellations Day. So, you know, it's always possible. And, you know, being sober makes you brave, right? So, of course, you can travel, even if you might not have done before. If you are interested in one-to-one coaching, I offer that. And of course, I have a directory of coaches as well. That can be a real game changer. That can really help the light bulb come on when you get some one-to-one support. And if you have been sober for a while and you're thinking about being a coach, then get in touch. I offer sober 360 coach training. So that's all that kind of admin stuff out the way. I thought I'd do that first before I introduce you to my guest today. Courtney Anderson is the founder of the Sober Vibes podcast. It's a fun and empowering show. And the mission is to empower women in recovery through educational and uplifting episodes. And she has an occasional co-host as well, her sister, Kim. And Courtney invited me to be a guest on her podcast, and she's a guest on mine. And she has a new book, A Guide to Sober Vibes, A Guide to Thriving in Your First 3 Months Without Alcohol. But of course, we have a general chat. So whether you have been sober for years or whether you're early days, hopefully you will enjoy the interview. So I'm delighted that my guest is Courtney Anderson. So lovely to meet you, Courtney. Thank you so much for being a guest. Really looking forward to talking about the Sober Vibes podcast and your very exciting new book. Is this your first book?
This, yes, my first published book. I did do an ebook back in 2020, but this is my first published book.
Oh, it's so exciting, isn't it, when you get your book in your hands for the first time?
it's one of those surreal moments.
Yeah, it really is. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about your about you then. Let's back up and just hear a bit about your journey.
Yeah, so my journey really started when I quit drinking alcohol back in August 18th of 2012. So I just recently celebrated 11 years, and my book came out. Yeah, my book came out the same week. So that was the universe showing me another one of those things that sobriety always delivers. But
yeah,
I spent 10 years in what I call a toxic relationship with alcohol. And it went from 19 to 29, and I was about 6 weeks shy of being 30 for when I finally decided enough was enough, and I quit drinking alcohol. But I have to say, at 25, I knew in my soul I was going to have to give up drinking for good one day. I didn't know how it was going to look like, or didn't know what it was going to look like. I just knew that it was no longer something for me.
Would you say you had rock bottom moment, or you just knew it wasn't serving you?
Oh, yeah. I had 1,000 rock bottoms. I think we all have a rock bottom moment. And for some, that rock bottom moment could look like this gives me anxiety. I believe the rock bottom moments is the moments where you're like, okay, I've had enough. Yeah. Like, alcohol keeps showing me who it is, how it reacts to me, like what happens when I drink, and I'm just done. So I had thousands.
Yeah.
I had thousands, but it came to the point where I lost my cat for the second time. And my then boyfriend, we were together for a year and a half, and he was like, look, you can keep doing this, but I'm not going to stick around. He was just like, this is not how I want to live. And nobody should live like that. So I gave it up. And I haven't had a drink since.
Wow. That's fantastic. I just love it. And people have all these years of sobriety, and they just go on, just how it just keeps getting better every single year, single year. So what were some of the things that, over the years, you must have noticed a lot of changes, because, 11 years ago, there was not as much as going on as there is now, of course. So I guess it was probably harder for you back then, initially, at least, than it was for me sort of nearly 6 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, for me back then, I mean, the option was, rehab was never an option for me, then it was AA, and so I went to AA in the beginning, but I just didn't connect with it. It gave me a lot of anxiety. I did not connect with God at that time. And it was very overwhelming. So I really kind of just white knuckled it for 2 years. And then until I started going back into therapy, then hiring coaches. And then I did actually go back and participate for a summer in AA and just continued to develop new tools. I think whether you have the internet of what has happened on the internet of people recovering out loud and so many different other options has helped, that even with 11 years of sobriety, I still continue to find avenues of help that fits me at that particular time. I don't ever let myself get stagnant in my own sobriety. The one time that I did, that was when my son was born, and like 3 months in, I started getting a little wonky because of sleep deprivation and I wasn't taking care of myself and all of that. And then that's when I had a thought one night at 2 a.m. I'm like, oh, I see how mom's drank. I can see this. And that's when I knew I needed to dive back into my process of respecting my sobriety.
Yeah, it's really true, isn't it? We really do have to kind of, it is all about the self-care. And of course, if you're anything like me, you probably way back then thought that your self-care was the drink. I used to think the alcohol was my self-care. But we very quickly learned that it most certainly is not, right? So share with us, some of the benefits you found then. I'm guessing that over all those years, it must be amazing.
Yeah, just the benefits of not drinking alcohol. I mean, the one is no longer continuing to live in that hangover state, and that hangover state, it's like the induced anxiety and the shame and that cycle that goes on a weekly yearly basis.
Yeah.
And once that started going away, it was like, okay, now I don't have anxiety every day. You know, now I can pinpoint to my anxiety just around my cycle. And, you know, just it's like an onion, right? Like sobriety is an onion. And it's just each day or year you cut back more and more layers to figure out, like, you know, how you are as a person and how quitting drinking alcohol has affected your whole life completely. And it just really too comes down to, in the past 11 years, like I was a person who did not want to live. And now it's, you know, I wake up every day grateful to still be here.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, you mentioned the mummy wine culture thing, which, of course, here in the UK, I mean, it's massive. I mean, it's really massive. And it's certainly when my drinking ramped up, you know, when my kids were young. But actually, the reality is you become a so much better parent. I'm guessing you found that, too. You become so much more present for your kids, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I didn't have my child and 2 years ago I had him. So I'm very thankful that I went through the whole process of just being sober before that all happened, you know, and really, because then I went into motherhood, even though it totally knocked my socks off, right? You don't know what you're getting into until it happens. Like, I'm glad I was sober, because I don't know if I had to quit drinking because I was pregnant, that I would have continued on, you know? So I'm very grateful, but I do have to say this, so many women who are now getting sober, who have been sober for a couple of years, who did the years of drinking with their kids, they tell me all the time, they're like, you are so fortunate that you are sober and present in these formative years with your son. So
yeah, you really are. It's great. It really is. My only regret is not doing it sooner when the kids were younger.
To you, and you just saying that, like, it pings my heart that, you know, that is what women have their regret over.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what's happened for you then over those years. Obviously, you have the podcast, we'll talk about the book in a moment, but just share a little bit about how your life changed. I mean, that's one of the things that I find so just incredible, you know, in the women particularly, I think, find their passion and their purpose and their creativity and their kind of joy, really, once they stop drinking. And that's just so exciting.
Yeah, I have to say, I woke up, when I quit drinking, I transitioned into the medical field full time. And that's something that I wanted to do. And then a couple of years in, because you gain this clarity after getting sober, right? And I'm like, I don't want to do this. So I was introduced into the coaching world and, you know, with health and fitness. And I really enjoyed coaching people. And then it was when I participated with the program for that summer, I'm like, there's got to be something more to this. You know, like, I come from a more empowering approach. And that's how Sober Vibes was created, was that summer I spent in AA. And it's just so, it's so amazing to look back and see the progression of it, you know, of it just simply being a way for women to connect online and to be empowered, and then into coaching, because I waited to get into my 6 years to get into sober coaching, because I really wanted to take care of me first. And then it just evolving into the podcast, into National Sober Day, and then of course my book. So, I mean, to think back, it's just one of those things that makes me smile. And with you know, out of sobriety, a lot of creativity comes into place, because so many of us who have problems with alcohol are very, very creative human beings.
Absolutely. And yet, you know, the drinking, I've really noticed that how much the drinking keeps people small, you know. I think it makes you fearful, you know. We sometimes talk about how being sober makes you brave, doesn't it? And I remember back, you know, I mean, I was always someone who had a huge amount of energy and I was doing a lot of stuff, but even then I was also quite afraid. I remember that anxiety and that fear of just kind of getting outside my comfort zone. And it really is amazing how you just get a different sense of clarity and a different resilience. Tell us a little bit about the book then. Give us a bit of a run through some of the stuff that's in the book. I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, so it's called Sober Vibes, A Guide to Thriving Your First 3 Months Without Alcohol. And it is exactly that. I take you through the first 90 days and coming from a coach point of view of really supporting you and guiding through like what to expect, you know, because there's so many questions when you first start getting sober. And it's like, am I doing that? You feel like, am I doing this right? Am I, you know, what works? Well, what's great about this book is that it is tailored to you. Because, and that's a lot of the journal prompts go back to that, because what worked for your neighbor is probably not going to work for you. We're not all the same people. You know, we don't vibe with everything the same, right? So it's just, you have to find what works best for you. Everybody's living situation is different. People have kids, they don't have kids, all of that. So I really take you through to tailoring this to you.
So you mentioned journaling. Let's just mention that for a moment. You know, do you sort of encourage people to do that kind of stream of consciousness stuff where you just let it out?
Yeah, a lot. There's journal prompts, and which is great in this book is you can write in this book. So there's space to write in it. But yeah, it's just with prompts and like, okay, ask yourself this question, you know, like I ask you your why about 5 times in that book, because I want you to burn into your brain of why you are quitting drinking alcohol. And what is great about these prompts is it's giving you more an awareness. Of how alcohol has played a role in your life, because it's very easy to forget, especially too when you get around the 60-day mark and that little voice inside you is like, well, I didn't have a bad problem. Yeah. I could just have one.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then that little self-sabotage starts getting into place. And it was like, no. So the book really comes from a supportive, encouraging place.
What do you talk about in terms of how people support themselves kind of physically? You know, do you get involved in the kind of brain chemistry piece and how any of that can feel supported?
Well, yeah, I just really give it back to the reader of like, what do you enjoy doing, right? Like going out, you know, I do encourage if the only thing that you can do that day, because some days are very hard, especially in those first couple months, where if the only thing that you can do that day is brush your teeth and go for a walk, do that. And then go back into your bed, right? Like it's just, you have to take it to start doing things each day to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
Because when you feel better, especially in those first couple months, you're going to want to drink less.
Yeah.
And you're developing that habit that's going to create your healthy, sober lifestyle for long term.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're so right. I think that, you know, it is different for everyone. And I think that, you know, some people are able to kind of get straight out and they just go and they get social and they're very happy to order their alcohol-free drinks or, you know, say they're driving home or whatever it might be. And for other people, they actually do just need to hole up and accept that I might need to just have a cup of cocoa and be in bed by 8 o'clock. And you know what? That's fine. And I think, you know, you're so right, because this is so worth doing, right? That it doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter if you have to hole up in bed for a couple of weeks. It's worth it, isn't it? Right. This is one of the things that, you know, I think we can't be stressed enough. It's not just another kind of, health and well-being trend that like, oh, why would I waste 2 weeks just to, you know, do a vegan diet or something? It's so much bigger than that, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a matter for a lot of people of life and death. And and that's the thing, like some people are empaths. So just some people of their day to day of just taking care of themselves and their kids, that is all the energy you can give. Plus two, in those early days, you're going through the detox, you're going through post-acute withdrawal syndrome. There is that for everybody who stops putting alcohol into their system at some point. So like, you're going to be more tired, you know? And that's where it's just rest, rest, rest. I'm a supporter of naps. You want to take a nap? Please take a nap. If you can do it, go for it.
Yeah, it's not always easy, is it?
Well, it's not, but even just laying there, because I don't think people understand the amount of damage, and this is not to scare anybody, but you have done an amount of damage on your body by putting just straight poison in it for as many years as you did. So, you know, your body's not Amazon Prime. It's not just going to show up like, okay, I quit drinking alcohol in 2 days. You're like, good. It is a process.
Yeah.
And people have to respect that process for them. And what it's going to do for how it's going to play out for them.
Yeah, it's very true. And I really like the fact that you've really focused on those first 3 months, because, you know, I think that certainly I find, you know, in my community that people have such high expectations, and they get all upset and disappointed when, you know, they're 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, and everything isn't perfect and fixed. And as you say, you know, everything has to recalibrate. It would be very bizarre if, as you say, everything pinged back instantly. I know I was very, I was kind of outraged, actually, that I didn't feel sensational after 2 weeks, and I hadn't dropped a couple of stone, and I wasn't sleeping. And I'm like, what the hell? You know, and you almost get those voices of kind of, hold on a minute, surely life was easier when I was just drinking, you know. And you're right, this is where we have to just push through and recognize this is going to take some time. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about, you mentioned truth and love and honor along the way. What do you mean by that?
Along the way of somebody's, on your sobriety journey?
Yeah. Yeah. I just noticed in something that you'd written, you just kind of said, you know, the truth about getting sober, tough love and honor along the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but there is a truth, like we just talked about, there's a process, right? And there's an expectation that people have that you're going to be good in a day or two. And that's not the case, you know? And for many of us, it's like, there was a reason we started escaping into alcohol in the first place. So you really just have to, again, go back to trust the process, that this isn't going to look like all rainbows and butterflies, and that there are some hardcore truths you're going to have to face along the way, especially too, when you start getting clarity, because you're going to wake up and be like, oh my God, oh, I drank more than I thought I did. Oh, this actually impacted my kids more than I thought it did. Like, my children noticed, and they're only 8 years old. You know, I wasn't showing up for myself as I thought I was. So, and also too, then you get into the process of being like angry at all the, you know, mommy needs wine, it's wine o'clock somewhere. You see those sayings and you start getting angry, like, oh, I bought into that. And that was like a load of crap. That, you know, so there are a lot of truths that you have to face, and, you know, just especially too, and honor those feelings, because they're valid and they're your feelings. And it's a natural process of trusting the journey of sobriety.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is what it comes down to.
Yeah. And I'm guessing you talk or at least touch on forgiveness and how important it is to forgive yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing, because for a lot of us women, we also put ourselves into situations, you know, where it came, you know, where for me, there was times that I put myself into situations sexually where I woke up not knowing the guy's name, or where I had said no, and the act continued. And so with time and healing and therapy, you know, I can fully say now that I forgive myself, even though I, you know, because there's a thing of like, well, the victim blame, or being like, well, you shouldn't have drank that much. And it's like, no, that should have never happened into the first place, right? You know, alcohol culture and sexual assault and rape culture go hand in hand. So it's stuff like that where you have to just, you have to give it time, you know, even if it's not so extreme of that, but just as a mother being like, I wasted years in the bottle, not being present for my 2, 3, 4 year old. And it takes just some time and healing to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
That is also not going to happen overnight just because you quit drinking. That's a process.
Exactly.
That's like some soul searching and help that you have to do for yourself.
Sure. And then there's that other piece, isn't there, that tends to come in around the need to the kind of the guilt, and whether or not you need to make amends, whether or not you need to apologize to other people. And again, you know, I've had clients who have, that's kind of landed on them and blindsided them within a very short space of time of stopping drinking. And of course, that isn't really, in my opinion, the right time to deal with it because you're too fragile yourself.
Oh my God, I didn't make amends until I was a year in, you know, and that's because that's the one thing that we've been shown since like the late, you know, the 40s, right? That this is what we have to do. And for some people, it works. For some people, it doesn't because it's just not them. Like for the women that I always work with, I'm like, listen, I don't believe you need to make a list of the 85 people you have harmed along the way of your drinking, right?
Yeah.
Start with who is relevant in your life today.
Yeah.
If you need to say, and I am sorry to your husband or your wife, do it when you are comfortable. You can't rush that. Because then it just doesn't, then it's not authentic. You know what I mean? It's just not.
Yeah, totally. And what do you share on a kind of very practical level? Do you get involved in the book in any discussions around how we can tame the sugar monster that so often creeps in?
No. I tell women to roll with it. You know, because this is what I did for that first year. I rolled with it. And I didn't, because that first year, you know, going past that 3 months, that first year, you just can't put these overwhelming expectations. You can't be like, well, I'm scared to gain 10 pounds. Would you rather gain 10 pounds or still be drinking alcohol?
Yeah.
You have to currently choose your heart. And when you are ready, then you can tame that. But you also have to still accept that, you know, if you want a cupcake, have a cupcake.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no shame in that game. And that's where it's hard for, you know, your generation, my generation, and a couple ahead of us. It's that diet culture is so ingrained into
it
us.
It is so ingrained. And it's true. And certainly for me, certainly the first, I mean, I went around the block, goodness knows how many times, but several of the times I went around the block, I was doing it because I wanted to lose some weight. That was kind of my, you know, it was like, oh, I need to stop drinking because then I'll lose some weight. I had it all messed up. I really did. And you know, you're absolutely right. It has to come later down the line. You know, if at all, we cannot focus on that. It's disastrous. You just got to focus on one thing at a time, right?
You really do. Cause then what, and then it's like, okay, once you feel like you have the no drinking each day down, it's like habit stacking, then you introduce. And I just said this to a client yesterday, cause she's like, I'm gaining weight. I'm going for the ice cream and the chips. And I'm like, listen, in a couple months, reevaluate it. I was like, because once you stop feeding that beast with the sugar, because it is, that's another addiction, right? Like, then once you stop eating it and it's out of your system for a couple of days, like then you will be able to go and eventually moderate it. It like quote unquote moderate it. I was like, but it's just because you're trying to tame the feeling, you want that dopamine hit, right? You want that comfort. Like, and you know, still 11 years in, I enjoy a sweet treat. I now just allow myself to do it on a week. I just save it for the weekends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so.
Yeah. And in the US, I'm interested, you know, how different it is to the UK in the sense that, in the UK, and lots of people will have heard me say this a thousand times because I do bang on about it quite a lot. If women rock up to their GP, their doctor, with perimenopausal symptoms or menopause symptoms, they will typically be given antidepressants. Huge number of women on antidepressants, and sometimes they'll be given HRT. Sometimes they'll be given both. But they'll never, almost never, be asked about their drinking. So is that the same in the States?
I think so. Because I think that's just across the board with the medical field, right? Like, and that is the thing, you know, I have heard more people say they try to tell their therapist that they've had a drinking problem, and the therapist has been like, no, you don't.
Yeah,
and that one kills me the most,
because
I'm like, oh my God, they're not listening to what you're saying, then, you know? And I mean, I had a therapist before I quit drinking. She was like, do you ever think about quitting drinking? Because it seems like all your problems stem from there. And then I fired her. But, you know, like, and so it hurts to hear that. But yeah, because it's with the medical thing, especially in the States here, it's like, well, if you don't drink more than 3 to 4 glasses of wine a week, you're good.
But everybody lies anyway.
Exactly.
So, you know, and
exactly.
The doctors know we lie, right?
Right, right.
So it's utterly crazy.
Right.
I mean, I was just going to say, my thing on this is that if someone, you know, I'm not saying that all doctors need to make it their business to be always asking you, because that's probably not going to happen. They're probably drinking themselves.
Oh,
but
yeah.
if someone actually is brave enough to share that they're concerned, then at that point, the answer needs to be not, as I was told, oh, well, you know, you seem completely fine. Just have an alcohol-free day. You know, like, I haven't thought of that. You know, surely the answer needs to be, well, wow, well done you. You've recognized this. This is great. Let me now signpost you to some support, or, you know, where you can find out about just how great life can be without alcohol.
And I have to say that, like, that's where that also kills me with doctors. If you're handing out prescriptions, none of those medications you should be drinking on.
Well, exactly. This is what really scares me. I've had lots of clients that are on antidepressants and HRT, and they're drinking a bottle of wine a night. That can't be okay.
Mm-mm. It's not. Well, because you're then not letting your medications, if you need those, you're not letting them do its job.
Do what they need to do. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like pointless for you even to be taking those if you're going to continue to drink on them. And a lot of women too that I have worked with, they actually, when they get sober, they realize that the medication they have been on for a couple of years is not working.
Absolutely.
Or making them feel worse.
Absolutely.
And they would have never known that, to have that conversation, to be like, we need to try something else, if they were not sober.
Yeah, it's really true. Yeah, I found the same thing. And with HRT, you know, so many women find that when they stop drinking, things change. So either they need a different prescription, or maybe they don't need anything at all. You know, I know I've had several people who just say, you know what, now I've taken away the toxic poison.
Right.
Actually, you know what, I'm good.
Right.
I'm eating better, because that's the thing, isn't it? When we can start to take care of ourselves a bit more, become a bit more aware of our bodies rather than just piling in the poison.
Exactly. Exactly.
Really true. Yeah. So anything else you'd like to share with us from the book?
No, just, you know, with the book, like I said, it just comes from a supportive, empowering place, and really walking you through those 90 days. So if that is where, if you're listening and that's where you're at, or you haven't even started, I would definitely recommend checking it out. So far, the reviews from the States are very well. And, so that makes me happy to hear.
Yeah. Fantastic. And tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Yep. So my podcast is called Sober Vibes, and I've been doing it since February of 2020. Mm-hmm. And I will do my own episode, which is usually a coaching episode. And then I will do an episode with a guest. And then my sister and I have a show within a show, because my sister is also too in recovery.
Oh.
So we really touch base on the family dynamic, and just from our own stories and perspective of addiction and sobriety and recovery. And we laugh a lot in that one.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
The whole family dynamic thing is really interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, again, it varies so much. It must be so wonderful to have someone close in your family who's also sober. But I know that, you know, with one of the women in my community, she had a very close family unit, and they just would not accept her. You know, it was almost like, I mean, it's very difficult. People, it's one of the things people fear the most, isn't it? Kind of getting out and being sociable and like, oh my God, how will I face everyone? And there is an element of, well, you know, some of your friends may shift things, relationships may shift. It's the way life is, right? And,
right.
But with your family, so tough. And she actually found that her family, they just would not support her. So much so that on one occasion, one of her sisters spiked her drink. I mean, seriously, who needs enemies, right?
Oh, that's
it's sad, isn't
sad.
It? Yeah, I know, it's really sad.
But that's the reality of some families who are sick in that, yeah. And where addiction is like high, you know, and it's just so sad. But that's why you get to choose your friends.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. So tell us where we can find out more information. Obviously, I'll put the links in the show notes to where we can order the book. And tell us where we can find out more info about your work.
Yep. So you can go to CourtneyRecovered.com, or you can just Google me, Courtney Anderson, with an E-S, not O-N at the end. And then there's the Sober Vibes podcast that's on all podcast apps. And out of all of these social medias that are now out there today, I party the most on Instagram at Sober Vibes. So you're always welcome to DM me.
Cool. Fantastic. Thank you so much for being a guest. I really appreciate it, Courtney.
Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney, and I look forward to chatting to you on your Sober Vibes podcast as well. I'll put the links in the show notes to Courtney's work and to her book. And just a reminder that if you want to join us, thesoberclub.com is our community where everything happens. If you don't want to do that, but you just want to contribute, then you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Janie Lee Grace and you can buy me a coffee. And of course, I'd much rather meet you in person and have a flat white. But in the interim, if you just want to contribute to the work we do, that would be amazing. And please don't forget our events. It would be amazing to see you at Sober by the Sea. Last minute this Sunday is our very last one as well, or one of the events I'm doing in October for coaches or for family constellations, or in November for our retreat at Champneys. So I look forward to meeting you. Always reach out. You know, I did say this earlier, just pop me a message. I will reply to as many messages as I possibly can. Don't hole up and try and do this in silence. If you're struggling, whether you've just stopped drinking or whether you've been sober for ages, you know, someone in the Sober Club this week was saying they've been sober for quite a while now, but they still feel flat. And that can happen. You know, we've got a lot of recalibrating to do to get back to who we really are. And sometimes when you stop drinking, it uncovers something that you need to look at, whether that's physical or emotional. So reach out if you're struggling. Don't hole up. Thank you so much for listening. You know where to find me. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook if you're not already, at Janie Lee Grace. And I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.